I got to see both my parents this weekend. My mom's birthday is while we're away at camp. My dad just recently moved back to Florida, and so I scheduled two trips with several hours of driving on each right before I leave for Virginia for a 10-hour trip. I don't know, but we did, and we've had a great time. Had a great time with them, and it's been a lot of work getting ready for camp. We're leaving tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with 46 going to camp. Amen. It is. It's been a lot of work. The devil has definitely been trying to prevent us from going. The number of hurdles and obstacles and just crazy things that have happened. I know that the devil doesn't want us to go because I know great things are going to happen. But no matter how busy I am, I always make time for something, which is what we're talking about today, and that is. I was hoping y'all were going to at least say Jesus. Y'all don't say anything, nothing. I was hoping you were going to say Jesus so I could say, yes, Jesus. But actually, telling stories. One thing that I love to do is tell stories. And just real quick, if you have heard me tell you a story today already, raise your hand. Yes, several of you guys. I love telling stories. I love telling stories. I love hearing stories. I love reading stories. I love watching stories, listening to stories. I didn't really get into my great-grandmother's stories or soaps. I don't know if I lack the intellect to understand them. I just didn't really like those. But overall, I love stories. Like this one. I went on a camping trip with Kyle McGraw, his two, Mike Moore, and Connor, and Charlie and I. We went on a camping trip. It was a dad's camping trip. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. We go, and we set up our tents, and we got there like at 9 o'clock. So we had like 30 minutes around the fire, and then it's to bed. And so we're laying there. I'm laying in my tent, and Charlie's laying next to me, and it starts to rain, and we're like, eh, whatever. It rains when you go camping. Always. Never is it dry and sunny when you go camping. It always rains. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, whatever. I got my rain fly up. I'm good to go. Well, I woke up about 2 hours later soaked. And Charlie was soaked, and there was water pouring into the bottom of our tent. Like, it had come up over. It was bad. And I'm looking, and in that moment, I'm in daddy fix-it mode. Like, what the heck am I going to do? What am I going to do in this situation? My daughter's going to be freezing, and she's going to wake up screaming any second now. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And right about this time, I see in Kyle's tent, his flashlight start doing this number, as he was also realizing, we are getting soaked. We are getting drenched. Moore was passed out. He had brought a tarp and stuck it over his tent. He didn't know it was raining at that point. And so I'm like, dude, what's going on? And he goes, I don't know, but it is flooding in here. And I said, we got to get these kids out of here. And so we open up the tent flap, and, you know, it's pouring down rain. And both of us, we're big guys, okay? And let me let you know something. When we sleep, it gets really hot. So imagine two big shirtless guys running back and forth from the tents, taking anything we can of value back to the car, carrying crying, screaming children, laying them in the car. And we finally, we're like, we're just going to sleep in the car. We'll deal with this in the morning. We didn't wake Mike up. Mike's still sleeping. He's like, ah, whatever. He's good. So we're sitting in our car, and I'm sitting there, and Charlie's, you know, calmed down a little bit because it was thundering, and she's laying next to me, and she's in the chair, and I'm like, okay, it'll be okay, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And, you know, luckily I had towels in the back so I could, like, use that as a blanket. And we were there for maybe, what, 5 minutes? 5 minutes. And I'm realizing it is getting really hot in that car. Like, it is getting it's getting murky in that car. And I'd get my phone out, and I call Kyle, and I see his pop on. I go, dude, I'm going home. And he said, I'm right behind you. So we get driving home, and you know, the great father I am, please don't arrest me. I leave Charlie in the front seat at like two and a half years of age, buckle her in, and we get home, and it's still pouring. And so I'm like, all right. And I'm thinking, oh, please, Carrie, don't shoot us when we walk in the house. You know, like, my phone's not working. She's not answering her phone. And so I'm like, all right, Charlie, I'm going to pick you up, and we're going to run inside. And I'm running through the rain, and we get upstairs, and she's just shivering. And she's going, Daddy, it was raining. It was raining, and we was running. It's like, yes, that's what happened. Next morning, I call Mike, and I say, hey, man, you bring me breakfast? And he goes, bring me breakfast. I went home. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, it started flooding up from the bottom. Thanks for letting me know, guys, that it was raining. So that was Charlie and I's first, and I think only father-daughter camping trip we've been on. I think that was it. We'll try it again in a year or two. But I love telling stories. I love telling stories. They're great. In fact, when I was in school before I started working here at the church, I assumed that, you know, I wouldn't be blessed in the position I am to be a full-time youth pastor in my first church. I figured I'd have to be bivocational, and so I thought, I will teach history, which history is just telling kids stories. They're just not your stories, you know? I thought, that's what I'll do. I'll teach history. I just love telling stories. And what's great is that's something that Jesus and I have in common, that God and I have in common, that they love stories too. God loves stories. God even loves my story. He loves my story because he wrote my story. So let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we're going to be in Psalm 139 for just a little. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Father, as we get ready to read your word and to look and see how you feel about us, how much you love us, how much you care for us, I just ask that you would help us to focus on you and the things that you've done for us in our lives and through our lives. Help our aim and focus to know you more and to love you more when we're done than when we started. So we thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 139 is one of my favorites. I have several psalms that I really enjoy. They're good stuff. They're all about how good God is. And so who doesn't have several psalms that are their favorites? But Psalm 139 is one that you've probably heard before. You've probably heard people talk about before. It's the one where it talks about being knit together in their mother's womb. We're going to go ahead and read through that part as well. But God loves my story, the story of my life. He loves when I tell stories because he wrote my story. And this is what I mean. Let's look at Psalm 139, verses 13 to 19. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it." I love that verse for several reasons, but my newest, most favorite reason is because when I read that verse and Waverly Parker hears it, she goes, "I'm marvelous." That's like how she responds, like, "I'm marvelous." So God's workmanship, look at yourself, is marvelous, and how well I know it. All right, let's keep going. There it is. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born." Here we go. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me." And actually, we're going to stop there. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." When God made us, he made us how we are on purpose. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't you know, leave anything to chance. When he made us, when he made you, when he made me, the physical features we have, God gave those to us on purpose. Your strengths, God gave those to you on purpose. Your weaknesses, God gave you those on purpose. Your talents, your gifts, your preferences, God gave you those things on purpose. And what this psalm tells us is that even the events of your life were so important to God that he laid them out before you'd even had a single day pass. Your story, your life, is important to God. Every little ounce of it, every little bit of it is important to him. So much so that he wrote it all out, wrote it all down, knew what was going to happen, planned it all out because he loves you. Because he loves you. And now, some of you may say, "Well, I lead a really boring life. I read a little, like, seriously, he could have spent a little more time spicing up my story." And that's, I mean, you may view it that way. You know, you may say that, you know, my job and my work really isn't that important. It gets things done that need to get done, but it's really not that important. I beg to differ. I think you're just telling your story wrong. That's what I think the problem is. I think it's all about telling a story well. You guys know anybody that tells a story horribly? Like, you're like, "Please, oh please, get to the end of the story." I think you're just telling it wrong. I think you're telling it wrong. God gave you an awesome life, a wonderful life, and he wants you to tell that story. And you know, telling a story well is something Jesus did. Jesus told many stories when he walked the earth, when he had his ministry. We're going to be looking at one in Luke chapter 8, one that you're also probably familiar with, about the farmer scattering seed. But Jesus told stories. He thought it was important to tell stories as well, and he didn't tell stories of abstract things necessarily. He used things that were common every day that people could grab a hold of and people could understand. He used common things to explain deep spiritual truths. He talked about farming and changed millions and billions of people's lives. Okay, so I mean, if you think like what I do isn't important, it obviously is, because Jesus talked about all kinds of stuff. He used characters in his story that people would overlook. He used people in his ministry that people would overlook. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or where you're going. God can use you, will use you, and wants to use you. And here is a story of seeds. He even cares about the story of seeds. So let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. It says, "One day Jesus told this story to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed began to grow, but soon it withered and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that shot up and choked out the tender blades. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, 'Anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand.' His disciples asked him what the story meant. He replied, 'You have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I am using these stories to conceal everything about it from outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. They see what I do, but they don't really see. They hear what I say, but they don't understand. This is the meaning of the story. The seed is God's message. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then the devil comes and steals it away and prevents them from believing and being saved. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. But the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message, cling to it, and steadily produce a huge harvest. If you don't have a devotion that you do or a quiet time that you're doing right now, or you're in a lull or you want to change something up, I've been doing one recently by Rick Warren about hearing the voice of God. If you go into YouVersion, one of the biggest Bible apps, you can search Rick Warren. I think it's Hearing the Voice of God or How to Hear the Voice of God. But he talks about this story in a way that I had never thought of, but I thought was very... very important. I thought it was very, very important to hear the way that he had shared. I'd always viewed this as I'm going to be one of these four types of seed. That's who I'm going to be. So be the good seed. Don't be the bad seed. And in it, he's talking about the fact that while, yes, he does say these are four different types of people, that it's not necessarily that you're going to be one type of seed, that in a single day you could go through every one of these phases, that God could say, this is what I want you to do. And you could say, nope. And that would be the seed that fell on the road. Or you could say, wow, that sounds like great. How many of you guys have heard a message like, oh, that's so awesome, you leave and nothing changes? My hand's up. You know, I mean, that's the seed that it never grows deep. It never changes. And then, you know, you decide, I'm going to follow after what you say, God. Yes, that's what you want me to do. I'm going to follow. And then our lives crowded out. We try real hard. We're really good about what God wants us to do. But then when it gets hard, we let it fall away. And so, At any point, we can be in any one of these phases of being a seed, any one of these phases of types of soil, and we have to constantly be on the lookout and make sure that, A, we want God to speak to us, we want God to show us what to do, and B, that we're willing to do it, that we're willing to move forward and follow after God. And so Jesus used this story to communicate a serious truth. But what's great about this is not only is he showing that the seed, us, I guess, or the plants, us, are important, growing 100-fold and producing 100-fold fruit. But that the reason that seed is important, the reason that our lives are important are not because of anything we've done, but because of God's involvement in our lives. Our story is important. It is. So much so that God wrote every day out, that God planned it all out. But let me tell you, the reason your story is important is not because you're a wonderful person. I'm sure you are. The reason your story is important is because God, A, created you. The God of the universe who creates everything decided, I want to create you. I want to make you exactly how you are, and I want to be involved in your life. I was listening to a podcast this week, a training on discipleship, and it was great. I enjoyed listening to it because it said that something I'm already doing is good to do. I like when that happens, when it's like, you should do this. Check. You know, it's like, don't have to add anything there. But what it was saying is that a lot of times we as Christians, we spend a lot of time reading the Bible, and that's great, and that's good, and that's what we need to be doing, but very rarely do we take time to share what God's doing in our lives. Like, we want to see what God's done, and we want to see, you know, but rarely do we say, this is something awesome God's doing. Let's encourage the body with this. And I was smiling because we do this in youth. We do it every Wednesday night. It's called Vitamin J. Share something that God has shown you in his word. Share something that God is changing in you through his word. Share a conversation you had about Jesus with somebody. Share an encounter that you've had with somebody that revolves around spiritual matters. Share something that God has revealed to you in some other way. And it's awesome. It's exciting to see kids go, I shared Jesus with somebody this week. And, you know, and having that time. And it's important for us to do that. It's important for us to tell those stories. God created us to tell those stories. The stories are recorded here about God's greatness and goodness. And God didn't stop being great and good in the Bible. Amen? He's still great and good, and we still need to share. So here we go. I'm gonna stretch you out a little bit. We're going to have Vitamin J in here right now. Now, usually I limit people to a week, like what's happened in the last 7 days. But if you would say, I want to share with this church something awesome that God has done in my life or that I've seen God do in somebody else's life, I think we need to hear it. So, first hand raise. Who we got? Who's got a story they want to share about how good and awesome God is? Where's Anna? Anna's always ready. No, who's got something? Who says, I want to share something good that God has done in my life this week, last week, several years ago, whenever? Who's got something they want to share? It's scary to be the first one, but it'll be good. Oh, Anna's ready. Anna's ready. Thank you, Anna. Give it loud, real quick. Yeah, you've been praying and 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 praying, and God answered prayers. Amen? Amen. Amen. There we go. That's good. What else? Who else got something they want to share? Something good God's done? Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Amen. Praise God. Very good. That was a good one. What else we got? Yes, ma'am. Eighteen Magnus, but he's home. That's good. Amen. Amen. Listen, we'll have to talk later. I got to figure that out. What the heck was going on? I don't know. Anyways, we'll talk about that later. Who else? Somebody else saw a hand? Yes. Awesome. Amen. Amen. Leading 87-year-old to Jesus. I love it. I love it. What else? What else we have? What else do we have? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. World wants us to go at a whole lot quicker pace than God's made us to be. Very good. Awesome. Yes. Amen. Amen. What else? Who else got a good story? Yeah. We're taking 46 kids to camp. That is, pray for us. Yeah, that's good. No, that's good. That's good. It's good. I shared it. You know, it's been crazy trying to get ready to go to camp and all these things happening. But every step of the way, God's moving. God's doing good things. You know, we had to take an extra vehicle because we don't have a trailer hitch on any of the vans. You know, and that's all worked out. It's all falling into place. You know, I took a look at our finances and I was like, oh, we're only like 10% of the way there. You know, and God provided. It was awesome. It's been so good to see God move for this. Camp is a huge week for kids and an opportunity for them to grow closer to God without a whole lot of distractions. So yeah, so that's great. That's awesome. Any others? Any others? Like, I have to share this one. I have to share. Jesus, so good. Yes, ma'am. 13 kids came to Lord in the Bahamas this week at VBS. Amen. It's important for us to share these stories. Our stories are important. And sometimes if you thought to yourself, I didn't have anything. I couldn't think of anything. That's okay. There are weeks where I have that as well. And what that should tell in us, what that should put in us is the fact that we need to be looking for how God is moving in our lives. If we can't think of anything to say that God's doing in our lives, we're not looking hard enough. It's not that he's not moving. We're just not looking hard enough. Pray. Ask God, show me how you're moving. Show how my story is important. Show how you are doing an amazing thing in me, through me, around me. But show me. We need to see those things. Last verse. Last verses. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians. These are our youth ministry verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and 15. Say this. If you ever wonder where Madhouse comes from, it's right here. If it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Whatever we do, it's because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old way we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. My story is important because God wrote my story. My story is important because God is a part of that story, and God influences that story, and God is a part of that story. But my story is important because Jesus is the central figure of my story. Jesus is the hero of my story. I'm in my story, I'm a part of my story, but Jesus had to come and save me. That's why our story is important. That's why the Bible says that Paul's talking about all the things he's done religiously. He's done all these things. He's kept every law. He has done everything he can possibly do to be a good Jewish boy. And all of it means nothing when compared to what Christ has done for him. We talked this morning in Sunday school, in youth Sunday school, about a lot of different things. But we were talking about how Christ needs to be at that center. That's the lens that we look through. That's the most important thing is Jesus in our lives. But what's great is that when looking at Scripture, we know that Jesus didn't come to save us from immorality. A lot of times we think that that's what it's about being good. That being a Christian means being good. It means keeping the law. It means not sinning. It means nose to the grindstone. But Jesus didn't come to save us from those individual acts of sin that we do on a daily basis, hourly basis. He came to save us from ourself, from our self-rule, from us wanting to be in control of our lives. Because when we're in control of our lives, we sin. We take God's place, Jesus' place, as the ruler of our life, and we say, no, you're not going to be in charge. I want to be the lead. I want to be the center. That was Satan's sin. He wanted to be the center. I want to be the hero. And that's our sin. When we say, I'm in control of my life, Jesus is in control of my life. That's why we call him our Lord and Savior, that he is in control. He is the hero of our story. There's a movie that came out a long time ago. I'm sorry, let me back up. From my perspective, it came out a long time ago. Some of you, is it in color? Yes, it's in color. In there, there's a scene where there is a production of Jesus Christ Superstar that's taking place. And I'm not saying that that's biblically sound. That's up to y'all. But what had happened is they were getting ready for Jesus to have one of his solos. And right as he gets ready to sing, the guy playing Judas jumps down and starts singing Jesus' solo. And they go, what are you doing? That's Jesus' part. That's not your part. That's Jesus' part. He goes, well, I just felt something, so I just went with it. You know, I just felt like I needed to sing this solo, and so I went with it. And everyone looks at him like he's crazy. That's what creation does to us when we step in Jesus' role. When we say, I want to be in front. This is my song. This is my story. This is my life. Creation looks at us and goes, no, it's Jesus. See, a lot of times we think that our story is important because of who we are and what we want to do, and so we fill our lives with these accolades, and we fill our lives with great things we've done, which is awesome. I was driving to a conference one time, and I saw this guy driving a boat, and the name of the boat was It's My Life, and I thought, not really. But that's how we respond. We do all these things, and we think that's what makes our life important. That's what gives our life meaning. But what gives our life meaning, what makes our life important, is the fact that Jesus is the central figure. That's why when we look at Scripture, it doesn't say that Jesus takes over part of your life. It doesn't say that Jesus controls part of your decisions. It doesn't say Jesus deserves some of the glory. All is the word used. If we want our story to be important, if we feel like our story isn't important, maybe we're focusing on ourselves instead of Jesus. Now, I don't say that as a man who has it all figured out. Trust me, there are plenty of times when I choose me, when I want to be the hero, when I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to go and do what Jesus wants me to do because that's going to be hard. But it's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do to live lives that are important, to live lives that are the ones that are worth the work that God put into to write them, to put them together. So my question for you today is, what does your story look like? If you look at your life, if you look at your story, do you view it as important? It's the first thing. If you don't feel like you view your life as important, I would love to tell you how much God loves you, how much work he put into your life, how much he's continually loving you and caring for you. I'd love to talk to you about that. That's the first step. My life's important. Second, the reason that our life's important is because God's involved. And if you don't see God's involvement in your life, I would love to share ways that God's been involved in my life, and maybe you'll see the same thing. Even tragedy. My parents divorced when I was a small kid, and Satan wanted to use that to my detriment. But because of that divorce, I met my wife. I have kids because my parents divorced. Otherwise, my dad was in the military. We would have moved. I would never have met my wife, never had kids, never found Jesus, I don't think. God used that tragedy to do something good in my life, and I see that now that he was working in that way. But maybe you need to see God move in your life, and maybe you say, I know that I've seen God move in my life. I know that I've given my life to Christ. I know that I've made that decision where I say, God, I want you to be in charge. But when I look at my life, it really doesn't look like Christ is really in control. It really doesn't look like Christ is the hero of my story. It looks like I'm trying to be the hero. You are not alone. You are not alone. And I would love to be able to talk with you about that and say, you know, share, this is where I screwed up today. This is where I messed up, and be able to encourage each other. That's why we share these stories. So we see God doing good things and we go, I want more God in my life than more CJ in my life. Some of you in here today, though, may never have made that decision, never realized that it's not good for us to be in charge of our own lives. You're making decisions based on what you want because that's kind of how we're wired a little bit. And you see, I realize, though, that Jesus needs to be the hero. In a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you'd say, I really want Jesus to be the hero of my life, whether it's the first time or you're coming back, I would love for you to come forward so we can pray over you and show you in God's word how Jesus can be the hero of your life, how he can be your Savior, how he can be your Lord, and how your life can be changed for the better and your story be filled with purpose. But let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you for today and that not only do our lives matter, but they matter because you are a good God and you're working in and through us and that you are the center of our story. So, Father, help us to remember that. Help us to focus on you in those times when we want to elevate ourselves, when we want to be the focus. Help us to remember that when you're in charge, when you're moving things and doing things, that is the true purpose of our lives, to honor you and glorify you. As I said, anyone that's here that is struggling in any of these areas, like me, at times that where they want to be in control, when I want to be in control, when I want to be the hero, that I remember that there was one Jesus, there was one Savior, and I'm not him. but I can have a relationship with him. Help our focus to be on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.